Okay, so I'm going to be talking about joint X-ray and weak lensing profiles. And that's done with a tool called JACO, which is to be an open source tool for the community to use. The goal of JACO, which stands for Joint Analysis of Cluster Observations, is to, how do you operate this thing? Oh, it's literally coming out of the pen slot. So the idea is to have the best possible multi-wavelength constraints on clustered matter distribution via a gigantic model that takes all data into account. So you start with analytic 3D dark gaseous and stellar models and then fit it all self-consistently in the data plane via forward convolution. So far it works using spherical symmetry with the following types of data: X-ray spectra, weak lensing, shear, SZ observables, and optical velocity dispersion. In the works, we've got putting in Suzaku data as it becomes increasingly available, triaxial models, and strong lensing. Okay, so basically the idea is you have a giant mass model and all the X-ray lensing, SZ, so on observables are calculated self-consistently from it and converted, the chi-squares are added up and then minimized via Markov chains. From that X-ray geek's point of view, the sort of interesting features of JACO is that it involves direct comparison of model spectra with X-ray spectra. So what it avoids is some this subjective weighting that can happen when you compare 2D temperature profiles, theoretical ones, to measured 2D temperature profiles. There's actually a subjective weighting that goes in from a 3D model to the 2D temperature profile. This is avoided by JACO. So another feature of JACO is full PSF forward convolution of both Chandra and XMM spectra, and also treatment of central region as either a power law if there is an AGN or otherwise just thermal nuisance parameter. There's a gigantic parameter space, so there's dark matter parameters, gas parameters, metallicity parameters, all this stuff. And a lot of them are nuisance parameters that just can be marginalized over. This was described a while back. You can sit down, it's like at a restaurant, you can pick your menu of what dark matter profile you want. So it's amazing that, so it's been now 6 years since Navarro himself has come and said, you know, NFW is actually to be superseded by iNASTA, but this is a testament to the power of NFW that we still use it. And even though he wants to move on to something that looks like Sursich in 3D, which is iNASTA, this is what we still use. This is what I'll use for this talk, just his plain old vanilla NFW profile. So what we do is there's this other CCCP sample, which is not the Chandra sample, but it's actually the Canadian Cluster Comparison Project. Luckily, we still have one team member in Canada, so we can still call it that. The rest of us have moved. So this is 50 clusters, so it's a pretty big sample. We got Chandra or XMM data for all clusters. There's some overlap with Locus, overlap with both data sets. This is the main part I'll be talking about. We've got SC data coming down the pipeline as well with very nice collaboration from the CBI team, and we're looking forward to collaboration with the Locus team. So I said Chandra and XMM. Okay, so does Chandra and XMM do us any good? I'd like to talk about, do we understand how our instruments are calibrated before we can move on with this? Specifically, do observations of the same cluster in the X-ray analyzed with the same technique, this global technique, give consistent results? So this is important if we're seeking better than 10% results in cosmology. So we've had a while to work on this. We've had 10 years. These things have been up for 10 years. Do we now understand the calibration after 10 years? Okay, so here's an observation of a supernova remnant just recently put up by Sugimoto et al. So if you fit a power law, there's a 15% difference between Chandra and X and Newton in the power law slope that's derived. Rees et al, so through successive Chandra calibrations, the cluster masses have jumped around 6 to 13%. Most significantly, this very nice work by Nevelainen et al, 15-20% discrepancy in temperatures between X and Newton and Chandra. When you use the soft X-ray band. So now this is the results for the overlapping Canadian CCCP sample. So where I did this big fit of XMM versus Chandra data. Dashed line is unity. Here's the difference. Again, 15% consistent with what the other people have found. So the XMM data are giving lower masses than Chandra data by about 15% for the hottest clusters. These are T greater than 4 keV clusters. Okay, so yesterday Steve Allen and Norbert told me, like, okay, well, PN is bad. So, all right, what if you drop PN? All right, because there's two, actually, somehow this got skipped. Okay, so what happens if you drop PN? So I drop PN, so the agreement becomes better, 90%. Chandra and X and just MOS, so the slope is 0.9. So what is my suggested calibration for bringing these into agreement? You'll notice the actual intrinsic scatter between Chandra and X and Newton is consistent with 0, or maybe 2%. So actually they trace each other well. There's just a systematic offset. Here's my suggested calibration, which I used by found by tweaking. So you take the latest CalDB effective area, multiply it by photon energy to the 0.07. And this has the effect of weighting the half kV area down by 5%, 5 kV area up by 10%. And by design, then you get this very nice agreement with almost zero intrinsic scatter between Chandra and XMM Newton. I'm not saying that this is right, that Chandra should be corrected. I have no idea which one is right, but this is what you do to get them to agree with, for a sample of 19 overlapping clusters now. Okay, what does the joint analysis looks like? So it doesn't get us the nice three orders of magnitude that Aurora showed us, but, you know, two orders of magnitude and radius. Andy asked for the cooling time. Here it is. Yeah, cooling time looks like entropy. Yeah, it's pretty much pretty similar. This is kind of a representative intermediate quality cluster. At Berth 383, Marusha, the deviation from NFW we're talking about is also apparent here. This fit assumes NFW. All right, so we know, so let's calibrate mass observables. We've got lensing data for all 50 clusters now, X-ray data. We believe we can do the joint analysis. Okay, so we know that there's very tight X-ray observables, like Ming Sun's excellent work has continually been pointed out throughout this conference. But, you know, X-ray mass temperature is like sometimes, well, I think it's being overstating to say it's temperature versus temperature relation. So what if we look at lensing to try to calibrate these relationships? Locus has done some work on that. So we did some work on that in 2008. The dashed area is the expectation of Daisuke's simulations from back then. So the idea is that the X-ray mass would underestimate the overall mass as a function of overdensity. And why would it underestimate the overall mass? Because there's some non-thermal pressure support due to bulk motions. And so this is what we measured with some subsample of our clusters. So now here's the result for the full sample. So first we test linearity of MX-ML relation using 50 clusters. The slope in log is consistent with 1 in both cases. And here, filled squares are cool core, unfilled squares are non-cool core clusters. So they're consistent with linear. So now we can put it on a linear scale. This is linear to linear, X-ray to lensing. And again, it's low in general, but you'll notice all the cool core clusters are on the high side. This was also found by Locus, Okabe et al. At fixed T, and also Yu-Ying Zhang. At fixed T, the relaxed clusters have higher mass than the unrelaxed ones, right? And so this is evident here. So if I ask what is the X-ray to lensing mass ratio, cool core clusters, which I define by central entropy less than 70, are linear, basically consistent with 1. Everything is low, just like Daisuke's simulation and Andre and Elsa Alexei's work show. So these are kind of low, and this is... But these cool core clusters at R2500 are good. What about the other mass proxies? So the intrinsic scatter in MM was about 30%. And YX, again, measured standardized to lensing R2500 versus lensing R500 is what I'm showing here. So on this side, lensing mass at R2500. Lensing mass at R500, and then YX self-consistently calculated within those apertures. So it's a good mass proxy. Intrinsic scatter is 26%. But what's the best mass proxy also found by Locus? It's gas mass. So just plain old gas mass is the best mass proxy, not YX in our sample. 15% intrinsic scatter at R500 in gas mass. So what are the conclusions? The conclusions, first of all, Chandra and XM Newton observations for the most massive clusters do not agree. This is not a background issue. This is at R2500, where the signal is very, very statistically significant. Not a background issue. So this is, we do not agree to better than 10%, even if we cut out PN, I think. So I think this probably should be taken into account as additional systematic error on top of all the other astrophysics stuff. I don't know if it's a feature or a bug of X-ray observatories that it does this, but this is not random scatter. This is actually consistent with no intrinsic scatter if you correct the effective areas in this manner. So at R2500, cool core clusters have MX going approximately equal to ML, but everywhere else, and at that radius, non-cool core clusters continue to underestimate the lensing mass. Right, and so as far as what is the best estimator, it's gas mass as far as a max proxy, so down to 15%, which I really think it's, unless we do a better job at this, this is going to be kind of like our floor, maybe for intrinsic scatter. Okay, so now I'll just leave some open question. Alexei asks, is there a sweet spot in clusters where they're simplest? Well, for cool core clusters, R2500 is simplest. And I think more theorists and observers should report everything at R2500 as well as R500, because we're increasingly finding all these problems at R500, and R2500 gives an indication to be sort of maybe the sweet spot that Alexei was talking about. One thing that puzzles me is then why is M gas have much less scatter at M500? And especially puzzling is that, so the intrinsic scatter drops by a lot, but also, this is where all these excess clumps are supposed to be of aurora. So how come this is the best estimator? Probably because you can correct for the existence of these clumps. I don't know. I'll just leave it there.
We have time for a quick question.
So, Andy, the gas mass will increase as you increase the radius to which you integrate. So, if lensing mass has an intrinsic scatter, okay, and is, let's say, biased by 20% with respect to true mass, so you will, when you infer R500 from the lensing data, you will determine that, you know, your R500 is bigger than the true R500, and you will integrate the gas mass further out. So you will take away some of that scatter that present in the lensing data, simply because you integrate gas mass to the radius that is determined by lensing.
So you're saying we shouldn't be doing that? We should be going to
I'm saying that you can hide some of the scatter in the relation, because you're trying to, you know, to integrate to the radius which is determined by the lensing data. In YX, that problem is weaker, because in YX, you know, a significant component is the temperature, which is independent of radius. So this way you can see more scatter in YX versus lensing mass than you see in the gas mass versus lensing mass.
Okay, I guess I still don't understand how you would get the scatter down by integrating to larger radius.
Think about it. Your error in the lensing mass, gas mass, think about it. You make an error in the 100, you also make an error in the gas mass.
Right, but at some point you're comparing the integrated mass within this fixed aperture in some ways to an integrated mass, to an integrated gas mass within a fixed aperture, right? Okay.
One more talk. from Marcus Brogan?
That got shifted to Weston Park.
That got shifted, so I've been being a hard ass for no reason here. There is the poster session. Do we want to do that before or after discussion? Let's discuss and then do the posters. Nalima wants to...
Do you have a plot of your M500 for lensing versus M from YX? So you said the scatter is 15% for M gas. You said the scatter is 15% for M gas. Do you have a plot of what is the scatter with the YX?
So a question for Aurora, sitting right across the aisle. Do we have any idea about the scale of the clumping?
Not very much. I think you should ask Alexei, because he has some images of it, right? But we don't really see anything in Suzaku, which means for Perseus it's less than about 50, 60 kiloparsecs across. So it's not terribly big, but I cannot tell you anything regarding below sort of 60 kiloparsec how big it is or how small.
I have actually a comment and a question for both talk. Concerning the gas mass, I'm not very much surprised of the high scatter at R2500, because this is typically 0.3 R500, so you are probing the gas mass within the core, basically. And we know that there is a very big dispersion in the core property. So in my opinion, it's more like the reflection of the natural consequence of the high dispersion in the core, rather than something else. I have a question about the clumpiness. I mean, going back to the systematics, actually. I mean, what about possible systematic in your background estimate due to unresolved point sources, and also to the redistribution due to the PSF of Suzaku of the central part of the cluster to the outer part? Okay, I would very much like to answer your, I mean, to have your opinion on this.
Can only scatter a very small photon, basically. The know it's like stray light. So you can make an estimate of the stray light, and it turns out that the model that the lab is actually detecting is good for the stray light is less than the model. But you have taken the stray light into account, and we try to exclude any possible contamination in the
Yeah, I have a question, again, on the outskirts of the Perseus cluster. So when you have a large cluster for which the temperature is high and you're dealing with low density, low electron density, you start to deviate from thermodynamical and equilibrium because the collision time scale gets longer. And you also deviate from the collisional ionization equilibrium. So what is your feeling about how it might affect the result in terms of all those collisional out of equilibrium effects?
Okay, we have 16 people who want to each give a quick spiel, and we have 14 minutes until lunch. So I think what we should do is have these 16 people line up in this order while we take one more question about the clients in mind. So hopefully you guys can line yourselves up in this order quietly.
Okay, so one quick comment to Aurora and one question to Andishe and Aurora. Aurora, you said that was the first measurement of the metallicity at R200, but of course that's not correct. Already 3 years ago, Yutaka Fujita did the measurement. Then to Andishe, so you said assuming the weak lensing to be an unbiased mass estimator on average, you find that the hydrostatic X-ray mass underestimates the mass, and it does so even more strongly the further you go out. Now, if you assume that is correct, and then see the F-gas measurement from Aurora, which is at R200 and includes the extra hydrostatic mass measurement of the total mass, if you assume that bias is there, would the F-gas measurement then actually be consistent with the cosmic baryon mass fraction or not? Right, so the F-gas goes up.